Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
All right, are you listening to the truth? Are you ready now?
Yes,
come on, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, chapter 2, verse 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may do what?
Grow thereby.
When you got born again, you became a new creation. And God expects you to grow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To grow spiritually. To grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that have been Christians for years and they still don't know God. They don't know the word of God. They can't teach it. They don't understand it. Everything they say about the Bible is what they've heard other people say. They don't know it for themselves. And they've been Christians for more than 10 years. They are not growing. They are not productive. But God wants you to grow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He wants you to. Growth is not just for the pastor, for the evangelist, or the apostle, but for every child of God. You can know God so well. You can understand His ways so well. That's His plan for your life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before I go into that, I saw something Jesus said. And I want to share with you. Because I like it so much. So let's get it. Go to John 11. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
You know, there, say, wait for me. Are you all there?
Yes.
Verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Is he correct?
Yes.
Yeah, 12 hours in the day.
Yes.
When to when?
Yes.
Some people are looking. This is not 24 hours again. When is it?
6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. That means he doesn't fall. Is that correct?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're walking in the day, you should not fall. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Except you're wearing a very strange shoe. But you should not fall. He says, because he seeth the light of this world. That's common sense, isn't it?
Yes, Pastor.
If the light is on, you should see your way clearly. You should not fall. But look at this. Verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. If a man is walking in darkness, he would fall. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
Why? Look at this. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Because there is no light around. Is that what he said?
No.
That means he's teaching something here that is beyond physical light. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
Look at it. He says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light. Never did not bring light. Is that what he said?
No.
He says, because there is no light in him. Meaning the light in him, in verse 10, is the light he talked about in verse 9. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
Let's look at this again. He says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? So he starts talking physically. But he's going to explain some spiritual truths. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world, or this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. He didn't say because they did not carry torch light. So what light is he talking about? What is that light that you have in you, but then can influence your life? The Bible says the word of God is light. Says the entrance of the word giveth what? Light. There's so much to learn from this. Are you listening to me? In your life as a Christian, if you're not a Christian, just listen to me. In your life as a Christian, the word of God should influence your experience. Are we together? The word of God should influence your experience. In book of 3 John, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. So the word of God wants you to prosper. That should be your experience. Are we together?
Yes,
so the light you live by is a light that causes you to prosper. Okay?
Yes.
He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. So the word of God wants you to be in health. He doesn't want you to fall sick. So when the word of God is obvious in your life, you'll be prospering. You will not fall sick. You have money in your account. Right in this place.
Yes,
you'll be walking in righteousness. When everybody is catching Apollo, not you. When people are getting sick of this or another, not you. Why? Because the word of God is shining in your life. That is the daytime. But God said, as long as the earth exists, day and night will not cease. That means when there is daytime, there will be night time. And I told you guys that God has never told us we'll not have challenges. That is the night time. Are you in this place?
Yes,
in the night time, it seems as though the world is not obvious anymore. When it was day, people were dashing you money. Are you in this place?
Yes,
you got your salary, people were dashing you money. You had 100,000 naira salary, someone dashed you 300,000 naira. You say, this world is working. You've been speaking it and prospering. So it's day, everything is going well, but night is coming. He said there will be an evil day. Now when it is night time, it will seem as though your account, the bank owes you, you're owing them. It's in the red. It will seem as though this fever is getting to you. So how do you live your life? Look at this. Go back to John 11. Are you following me?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you understanding the logic?
Yes.
Look at this. He says, I did not 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Now he should not fall. He says, because there is no light in him. Meaning, if he had light in him, he would not stumble. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If he had light in him, he would not fall. What is that light in him? Physically, at times, I might not see the money, but I know that I'm a prosperous person. And so I live my life with that knowledge. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
The lights might not be obvious for everyone to see. You know, if I put on the light, everybody would see it. So when the word of God is influencing my life in an obvious way, everybody would see it. Someone comes and says, I need shawarma, I give him the money, he'll get it. Someone says, I need my school fees, I give him the money, he'll get it. They can all see it. They can all participate in that light. But when it is night, they can't see the light anymore. But the light is inside of me. So even if they can't see it, I'll live by that light. I'll function by that light. There might not be any cure for that problem. But the word of God says, he wishes above all things that I be in health. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
so health is mine.
Mine.
So if you're in the ninth season, this is so important. Don't start talking like those in the dark. He says you stumble. Be conscious of the light inside of you. If you begin to talk like those in the dark, a few weeks ago I had money, eh? Everybody came to borrow. Now they're not paying me back, now I'm broke. You'll really be broke and they will not pay you back. Because it's the ninth season and you're talking the wrong way. He says he stumbled because there is no light in him. The one who has light in him, in the ninth season, yes, they borrowed all your money. You say, thank God I had to give. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, the word of God is working in you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The word of God is not just for you to hear and get excited. It's for you to hold on to. When it seems like every other thing is contrary, but you hold on to the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he's saying. In that night time, remember there is light in you. Nobody can see that light, but you know it's inside. And so you function by that light. You have a guy who probably doesn't have anybody giving him school fees, but he's intelligent and he's a Christian. But anytime he wants to pay his school fees, he has to struggle. He has to do this. And he looks at his family members. Nobody really graduated from school. And so the parents are not even interested. They say, look, this thing you're doing, just do. You still go and learn work. But inside, he knows what he wants to be. He knows who he is. Externally, it might seem as though things are not going well. If he begins to talk like that, because that's the ninth season, guess what? His life will not turn out well. But he ought to be conscious that there is light in him. He knows what he knows. He is a success. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He knows it. And so even though they might not help him so much, he remembers what the Bible says. It says, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your parents might not help you, but God is right there. And if God is there, he's the one you need. Because he can influence anything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He can. So you got that, right?
Yes, Pastor.
In the ninth season, when challenges come, or if you're in a challenge right now, don't wait for people to, you know, to try to say nice things about your situation. There is light in you. Don't talk according to the night. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. You got that, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. So if you wake up in the morning shaking, you go, hello, I have cold. In fact, my head is shaking right now. I can't make it. Now, of course, if you don't want to go to work, you like to say that kind of thing. And I told you guys, if you say that, you're giving the devil an appointment. And he's going to come. He was just walking past your room. No plan to visit you. And then you wake up and say, I'm sick. And he's walking past the door, he hears, I'm sick. Ha! He takes your room number. Next tomorrow. In the evening, you're feeling fine. You're okay. You say, I'm better now. I was sick in the morning. That's why I didn't come. But now I'm okay. But the devil is waiting. 3 days later, he say, ah, you are saying you're sick. This one is serious. This one is serious. Because you're talking the wrong way. All right. You're ready now.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Growth. Physically, for you to grow properly, when you eat, you need a balanced diet once in a while. Okay? There are folks that eat gari. Rice. Everybody in school eat rice. Concussion. By the miracle of God, we do not grow strange. Because once in a while, we go back home and we eat real food. Okay? All right, but you need balanced diet. That means you need everything to be available for your growth. Physically, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You need balanced diet. Same thing spiritually. The guy who doesn't take balanced diet, only eating rice from the day he was born till 12. He can't pass 12. He begins to look strange. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
He become disabled. Some things will not function properly anymore in his body. Why? Because he's not taking everything. He's not taking balanced diet. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Same thing spiritually. We learned in the message, spiritual exercise, that there are some things you ought to do as a Christian. All right? There are some things you should do to further your growth as a Christian. And you have to do everything and not fall behind in one point. Let me give you an example. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
A Christian who has grown will begin to function in this world like Jesus. That's the idea. His goal. You begin to function like him. As fearless as he is, as excellent as he is. That's the idea. So the more you grow, the more the word of God influences your life and your results. That's the point. That's the idea of studying the word. But you have Christians that do only one part in that growth process. They only go to church. They don't pray. They don't study. They don't respond to the word. They only go to church. Every Sunday, they must be in church. But you find out that their Christian life is not effective. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Not effective. If everybody is getting sick, they'll be sick too. But they are Christians. But there's no difference in their life. If everybody is getting influenced or affected by that bad news, they'll be affected too. But they are Christians. But there's no difference in their life. But that is not the kind of life Jesus lived. If everybody was shouting, he didn't shout. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If everybody was scared, he was not scared. Do you remember when they were going to nail him to the cross? While he was going with the wood, guess what? The Bible says some women started following him and they started crying for him. Do you remember in the Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Started crying. You know what Jesus did? He was going with the cross. He said, don't weep for me. What a master. He could have said, be crying. Maybe you convince them, cry. Ha, this is serious. No, he said, don't weep for me. He said, weep for yourselves. Ah. This one was about to be killed. That's the person he ought to follow. Such boldness, such certainty of his future. But if you're not growing, you're not participating in everything you ought to participate in as a Christian. When it's time to be bold, you'll be scared. When it's time to speak God's word, you will not speak God's word. When they are failing everybody, they will fail you too. There is no difference about your life. Because you're not doing everything. There are those that read the Bible. They read. Lamentations. Always reading strange books. Lamentations, Leviticus, Numbers. I said, what did you read today? I read Zephaniah. It's a very powerful book. You too, because it's a very strange book, say, oh, it must have blessed you, because you don't know what to ask. And that's all they read, but they don't pray. They can't pray. Let's pray. Or some folks, you're praying, and they're looking everywhere. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
When I was in school, I remember anytime we had a prayer meeting in church, chapel, okay? When I'm going for a prayer, maybe I'm going quite late. That was exam prayers. I'll see some folks. Once everybody will gather together for them to call the prayer point. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Once they call the prayer point, everybody scatters. Do you understand? Because we need space to pray. And when they gather together, as I'm coming, they've scattered. And I'll see some people, their eye looking everywhere. And they're praying, looking everywhere, walking, looking everywhere. And when I was young, it looked so spiritual because they looked so serious. You know? So they're looking, they're greeting. And they're praying. And I thought, gosh, I want to be doing that too. You know, because when it looks spiritual, you want to participate in it. And I agree, I found out it was nonsense. If you are really talking to the Lord, you'll be focused on Him. You can't be looking everywhere and say, I'm praying. You're not praying. You don't want to pray. People like that, they don't want to pray. They don't have it in them. Do you understand? So they are just walking. But they, you know, there's a prayer walk. Are you in this place? If you're walking, praying, you can't be walking like this. No, people know you're not praying. So then you stop. You turn. God must be talking to you now. All right. My point is, some people study the word of God, but they can't pray. But you need to pray. Listen, the best way to pray is to pray. You just decide, you know what? I'm going to go 5 minutes. Put your alarm clock. Until this alarm rings, I'm not stopping. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Someone says, how do people pray for 1 hour straight? How? Some people just pray for 1 hour. What are they praying? Because by the time you pray, honestly, you have prayed for everything, plus the president of Nigeria and Donald Trump. And you check the time, 3 minutes. You're very fast with God. But you have some people praying 1 hour. What are they praying? They are really praying, okay? That's why the word of God says, speak in tongues. People don't believe in that. So I can't speak in tongues. How can I speak something I don't understand? How can I say something I don't understand? But they'll sing songs they don't understand. The popular song has ba, ba, ba. So now they're dancing ba. Do they understand? No. But when it's God, how can I say something I don't understand? And then, when you're really focused and you're praying to the Lord, you have something to pray about. Are you saying it? Because
yes,
He needs you to pray. He needs you. You have family members. You're going to pray for them. And then you train yourself. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
You train yourself to stay in the place of prayer. Someone says there's no place in the Bible that says we must pray 1 hour. At least 5 minutes is enough. It's people that are now putting time there. Well, the Bible says when Jesus was about to be crucified, He took Peter, James, and John to go pray. After He was done praying, the first round, He came and met them, and what happened? They were sleeping, fast asleep. He said, Peter, sleepest thou? He said, could you not watch with me for
1 hour?
1 hour. Look, all they told us He said in that 1 hour was, Father, if it's not your will, or take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. 1 hour. So he said, how was he praying it? Father, 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 15 minutes. If it's 20 minutes. Not your will, not your will, not your will. Will. So he said, that's what I'm going to do now. No, that was what he said and they heard. Remember, they slept off. The people who came to share what happened, they slept off. He started, they heard that part, and then they slept. And then he went the second time, and the third time, that means 3 hours. That is the Son of God. If you could pray 3 hours, you have no excuse. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You have no excuse. And so I've said, you learn. People go to church. That's number one. To ensure you're growing spiritually, you go to church. It's important. The people will say, church is in my heart. God is in my heart. Bible is in my heart. You're correct. Some people go further and say, devil is in your heart. You are correct. For you to be saying that kind of thing, it must be true. So I will not go to church. Say, God will come and meet me. You are very unique. In Luke 4, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
In Luke 4, the Bible says Jesus went to the synagogue as his custom was. You know what custom means? Habits. Until they chased him out. And he stopped going. He started holding meetings in the wilderness. But he was going there. Anytime he went to a city, he went to the synagogue. As his habit was. If the God you're saying is in your heart, if he's the one that we serve, if on the earth he was always going to the gathering of believers, if it's inside of you, he will move you there. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner or habit of some is. You want to grow spiritually? You take going to church seriously. So I say, when I go to church, what do I do there? You listen. You listen to the word. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you following me?
Yes,
the Bible says something that always blew my mind. The Bible says Jesus will go somewhere and he'll see multitudes. You know what? He'll start teaching them the word. He thought what they needed to do was to hear. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
He thought their listening was important for their life. So when you come to church, you listen. Don't be among those that are unserious in life. When they come to church, they're always checking their phone. Or they're distracting somebody, hoping to be distracted. You know people like that, right? They'll check the status, they'll show someone else. If someone is doing that to you, you say, get deep behind me, Satan. Out. Out. They say, so because I'm showing you phone, I am now Satan. Say, yes. I'll not show you again. Thank God. You've accomplished your mission. Why would you distract? Who would distract someone in church? Who is that person that is bold enough to distract another person in God's house? It must be the devil. There are people that also distract themselves. Why some people come to church just to sleep? No AC in their room, but in church there's AC. So they are the ones that insist, no, this is the place where I'm hearing the word. Where? This is the place. It's not true. Check the place. It's close to AC. In one cool breeze. No, you listen. Do you know you are what you hear? Your response in life is a accumulation of everything that you have heard. Should I prove to you? You know that already. But then you know. Have you ever seen a wall gecko? You know what a wall gecko is? That thing that looks like lizard but is small. And you grew up realizing people don't run away from it. You know that wall gecko? Have you seen it in your house before? Did you shout? You didn't shout. Did you chase it or kill it? What did you do? Some people say yes. Nice exercise. But for some folks, they just left it. It will go. Right?
Yes.
Why? Did you leave a strange animal in your house? Okay, what if you're in a house and then you saw a cat that is not your own? Would you be concerned? You see that Bible that has been under some people's pillow, they'll bring it out. Or you see a bat. All right, but Let me go where I'm going to. You will not be concerned if you saw a wall gecko. But if you saw a snake, you'll be concerned. How many of you have seen a snake pierce someone before in your presence? Or you know someone that died because the snake bites, pierced the person? Can I see your hand? So why do you think the snake is dangerous? If you saw the snake in your house, let it be. Right? Just like if you see a lizard in the compound, some people even start chasing the lizard. But you won't do that for a snake. Why? Because of what you have heard about the lizard and the snake. Some of you have not even seen the snake injure anybody, except in National Geographic Channel. It was not a person you saw. All right? You've not seen it. But your life, look at now, your experience, your response in life is based on what you heard about the snake and the wall gecko. Growing up, you've heard many things. Some things true, some things not true. There's people that God cannot help based on what they have heard. He can't help them because they have not heard his word enough. And so when you come to church, you're coming to hear God's word that will transplant all that you have heard, because it is God's word that will work. Let me give you an example. I heard a story of a guy who was hanging on to a cliff. I don't think it's real, but was hanging on to a cliff. But I like the point they were trying to make. All right? And while he was hanging on, you know, you look down, if he leaves that thing he's hanging on to, he would fall and scatter. Do you understand? Are you with me?
Yes, Pastor.
So he was hanging on to it, and then he shouted, "God help me!" And he was still holding on to it. And he was shouting. Finally, God spoke. He said, "Will you do what I said you should do?" He said, "Yes, help me." God said, "Let go of what you're holding." He said, "Is there somebody else?" Because he cannot let go. Why that response? Because he has not heard about God enough. If he has heard about God enough, I don't mean, you might have heard something. Do you understand? Are you in this place?
Yes.
If the first thing I saw, I say, "Ah, you have long hair. There's a prize for you." First thing I saw, I said it. You think, okay, thank you. And then I'm walking. Do you understand? Second day, I say it again. Single time I see you, I say it again. Third time I say it, and I'm always serious. The fifth time you ask me, "What is that price?" Right? Because the first time you didn't pay attention. But after the fifth time, you're thinking maybe there's something serious about it. There are people who have heard about God. Like that young man. Probably that's why he called God. If you have not heard about God, you will know there's a God to call. But not well enough to believe in him. Because this is the God that told Moses, "Stretch your hand over the sea and do what?" And it works. If that God tells you to let go, let go. He has a plan. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
But if you've not heard enough, and that's why you come to church to hear. One aspect of growing spiritually. Second one, I've said it, praying. Praying. Passionate prayer. When you're praying, put your mind there like you're talking to somebody. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If you catch yourself wandering off, come on, you're talking to the Lord. You have something important to do. As you say, and speak in tongues. Someone says, "I don't understand these tongues. How can people be speaking what I don't understand?" That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, he said, when he speaks in tongues, no man understandeth what he saith. But howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. So nobody's supposed to understand what you're saying. That is good. Because at times you're praying, you don't want the other person standing by to hear what you want to say. Right? You don't. You just want communication between you and God. Maybe you have an issue that is personal, and you're in church, and they say, "Okay, now pray about this issue." You don't want to say it loud. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Right? You don't want to say it loud. Maybe you're scared of cockroaches, and it's a serious problem. And they say, "Pray, pray, anything you're afraid of, pray now." Others are saying important things like bullets. But you, it's cockroach, but you don't want anybody to hear. That's why he gave you a language that you can talk to him, and to just between you and him. Someone says, me too, I don't understand. He says, no man. Except you're not a man. You don't understand too. He says, but in the spirit, you're communicating to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Third thing, you study the word. You read your Bible. You read and you put your mind there. You don't read just for reading's sake. You read because it shows you who you are. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Can I show you something?
Yes, Pastor.
Can I show you something quickly,
Pastor,
before we close? I said, when you read the word, he shows you who you are. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. verse 18. Now, those of you that don't have a Bible, sorry, you don't even know what we are saying. Some of you are just acting like you know, but you don't know. You don't know if I've paid everybody to just be saying something. You don't know. You are just sitting. Praise the Lord. You don't know if after service, as I'm talking now, I'm putting codes inside so they'll come and carry you. You don't know. You are just sitting. All right, verse 18. Are you there?
Yes,
it says, but we all with open face. Don't close your face. Open your face. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. You know, some people don't know glory to glory is in the Bible. So when they hear Christians say, I'm moving from glory to glory, say, they don't know it's there. Look at it. He says he expects our life for us to change from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. So that's what I want to show you. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that is a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Are you guys intelligent?
Yes, intelligent.
Are you intelligent in this place?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question. He says, we all, with open face. First one to get my question, get something. I didn't say it's a prize, though. So get something. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that is a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Then who are you? Some people didn't get it. How many of you use the mirror when we're coming to church today? Can I see your hand? You use the mirror. You check the mirror. You looked nice. You didn't look so bad. How many of you looked at the mirror and you thought, you are wonderful? And you said it to yourself. Someone is passing vanity, vanity. Don't mind them. They will never tell you, so tell yourself. You say, ah, God really made someone. And then you go further and say, you know, you're prospering in life. All right. When you check the mirror this morning, did you see my face? Come on, talk to me. If you went to the mirror and you saw me, and I did like this. The spiritual will say, out, out, Pastor, sorry, out, out. Because forever, what you would see in a mirror is you. Now he says, when we look at the mirror, we see who? The glory of God. So God looks at you and says, you're his glory. That's what he says. He says, and what is that mirror? It's the word. He says, when we look at the word, we behold the glory of God. And we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Let me show you one more thing. Go to James. James 1, and then we'll close. James. So, if it is true that anytime I read my Bible, this is the real me, I'm looking at my reflection, then I should take this word seriously. That means who he says I am, I am. That is my reflection. It says, I am a chosen generation. I am his choice. That is who I am. I might not have known, but once I checked the mirror of the world, I saw I am God's choice. And if I'm God's choice, I'm good enough. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have folks who say they're battling with depression. All right? They feel they are not good enough. Listen, the one who made you thought you were good enough. All right, James 1, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 23, quickly. 23. If you don't have a Bible, listen to me. 23. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he says, those that hear the word and don't do it. He says, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Same word, mirror. He says, when you hear the word, what is actually happening is that you are seeing your natural face. Maybe you're always sick, always sickly. But then you look at the word of God, and then he says, you live in health. That sickly you is not the real you. When you look at the mirror, it is you that you see. Are we together?
Yes,
he says you are beholding your natural face. That means God is saying the real you does not fall sick. You have some folks who go and say in church, they hear many nice, nice things. They always send them nice, nice things in the word of God. So that is how life is. That is how life is. That is how life is. He says, but when you hear and you don't do, you are like that man that saw your face. You saw who you are. You saw that you were prosperous in church. They were telling you. You were hearing it. As you were hearing it, you were picturing yourself. They said when you go for that interview, go with confidence. Your God's choice. You saw the picture. Go to 24. He says, for if any, Psalm 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetted what manner of man he was. You know what that means? It means when he came to church and heard the word of God, the picture he saw about himself, that prospering him, that successful him, that was his natural face. You know why he didn't do the word? You know when he left church, he acted as though everything was normal because he forgot. He forgot the manner. Look at the word he used there, manner, the type of man he was. So what the word of God tells you is the real you. When you don't do the word, you are struggling to be something you are not. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So study the word. Find out the real you. God made the world. He knows you more than any other person. He knows you more than you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He does. And so he's the only one that can tell you who you are and what you can do. And lastly, one other aspect of spiritual growth, responding to the word. Responding to the word. When you have read the word, there must be a response. Without a response, you will not enter into what you have heard. Let me give you an example. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
When you got born again, this is what happened. Someone preached the gospel to you. All right? They preached to you. You heard, you believed, you agreed, then you went back home. Is that what happened? After you heard what they said, you shook their hand and said, thank you. Then you went back home. Is that what happened? If you did that, are you born again? Are you saved? When you heard the word, you had to do what? Respond to what you have heard. And so the man preaches the gospel, and then he says, say this after me. Say, oh Lord God. That means after you have heard it, you respond to it. Are we together?
Yes,
it is after you have responded, then you say, thank you, Father, I'm born again. If you did that for salvation, which is the most important thing, you have to do that for everything in salvation, in Christ. So when you study the word of God, and it says in 2 Peter 1, or 1 Peter 1, or 2, verse 10, or verse 9, it says, for you are a chosen generation. How do you grow with that? You don't just say, ah, this is very nice. This is very, okay, let's go there. I've ended now. Second, or 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I am glad.
to my own. Oh, so glad.
Because only him can talk about me the way he does. Only him. Verse 9, are you there? All right, I read it. So, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, there's a song with this. All right? Oh, ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, right? Do you know the song? All right. But knowing this is the beginning. But there's something you have to do. When God tells you you are, he didn't say you will be. He didn't say you were. He didn't say if. He says you are. That is who you are. A chosen generation. Just like when you heard the gospel, you had to respond. When you see this in the word, you have to respond. You see? You have to. How do you relate with God? You don't relate with God based on your mind. If God came and... Are you in this place?
Yes.
I promise you I've ended. Just to show you. All right. If God came to you and said, you are a chosen generation, your response should not be, but I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. You think you're being nice, but you're arguing with God. And you're saying he's a liar. Or he doesn't know what he's talking about. And God is not moved by that. Jesus said, my Father is always with me. Because I always do those things that please him. So when we look at his life and the things he said, we know what pleases God. Hear how Jesus taught. He said, I am the light of the world. Oh, so that statement is pleasing to God. Then he says, you are the light of the world. And I'm going, I don't deserve it. Neither look like darkness. No. You want to please God? When he comes and say, you are a chosen generation, say, yes, sir, I am a chosen generation. Yes, sir, that's your response. Yes, I agree. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. I agree, that's your response. Jesus was talking one day with his disciples. He said, you all leave me. He said, all of you, the time will come, you run away, you leave me alone. What should they have said? Master, please, what can we do that will not leave you? If they must talk, that's what they should have said. What did Peter say? Even if everybody leaves you, me, never. Sounded nice, but he was arguing with Jesus. He was saying, Jesus did not know what he was saying. Jesus said, you? He said, the cock will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. He said, Master, I'm ready to die with you. All right. That was in the morning. In the evening, after they had all run, Peter decided that that word he said, he's ready to die with him. He will fulfill it. So he followed Jesus to the high priest's house. Then someone came. Said, I know you. You were with Jesus of Nazareth. You know what the Bible says? Peter said, this is what he told them. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Who's that? That's what he said. It's not like, I'm not with him. No, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's that? And he left the girl. This one also puts her all in trouble. He went somewhere else. The same girl came again. She started telling those people that this one was also with them. Bible says, Peter said, I don't know this man. I don't know what you're talking about. Then he said, the people she was telling said, you are really one of them. Because you had an accent. Do you understand? And as he said, your accent has betrayed you. Peter started swearing. That's what the Bible says. In other words, what he was doing, if I knew this man, let's thunder right now with lightning, strike me. While he was saying that, the cock crew. Bible says Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And then he started crying. Then he left. And I'm not impressed. Because in the morning he was sharpening his mouth that he would die with Jesus. He should have gone and said, okay, it's true, I lied, I know him, kill me too. He did not want to die. What does that mean? It means that at times, you might feel you're not good enough for what God is saying. But if God has said it, side with God. Are we together? Stay there. He says he has not given you a spirit of fear. He says, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Maybe you managed to get into school. But now, he's telling you, you have a sound mind. You don't say, no, Father, my brain is always shaking. No, you respond. You agree with God. One with God is a majority. And you know what? You will stand with him. So look at verse 9 again. It says, for you are a chosen generation. I am a chosen generation. It says, you are a royal priesthood. I am a royal priesthood. That means I'm royalty. He says, you are a holy nation. That means you're set apart. Are you seeing it? You're set apart. In Egypt, when the plague was destroying the Egyptians, the Israelites were set apart. They were sanctified. Holy. He says, you are holy. What is disturbing the world cannot touch you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm prospering.
I'm prospering.
Then it was say, look at me.
I'm
walking in victory. Say, look at me.
Nothing can stop me.
Look at me. Say, I'm growing. Say, glory. All right, go ahead and speak in other tongues and thank God for what you've done.